Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Mark 16, verses 15 through 18, which says, "And then he told them," he meaning Jesus, "go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, they won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. And we pray and ask for revelation tonight. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, come upon us that we may grow in the knowledge of you. I ask, Holy Ghost, in the remaining time that we have, that you would come, that you would stir our hearts, that you'd cause faith to rise. Lord, I pray for an anointing upon myself. I thank you, Lord, that you have anointed me, Lord, to be able to bring this word and to bring encouragement to your people. We thank you and praise you in advance for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You can go and be seated. Praise God again. As I shared earlier, my name's Pastor Timothy Capo, one of the staff pastors here at Kings in Wasilla. And among other things, I lead Native Fellowship along with my wife and, of course, my mom, our whole team, my sister, Minister Sarah. Praise God. Sounds good, Minister Sarah. And so that's every Thursday night at 7. If you want to come and be a part of that, God's doing powerful things there every Thursday night at 7. And every second Thursday, we usually do a potluck. This next Thursday, however, not tomorrow, but the next week is our potluck because we didn't think it was a good idea to have a potluck at the beginning of the fast. Amen? Praise God. Well, this message that I have and I shared earlier as well as on social media is really principles for healing. And this came really from a burden God has placed on my heart in the area of healing, but more than just bringing knowledge of it, but a love of the families in our church here and the families of our community. And it really bothers me. I would use some stronger words, but we're in church. It really bothers me when I see sickness go through families, when I see illness and disease and things come upon the people of our congregation here, as well as all of our churches worldwide. It does something inside of me because you're not just another person, you're part of the family. And it really bothers me. And I believe that God is going to do something very significant in the beginning of this year. If you missed it, Pastor Daniel preached a number of messages on unprecedented victory. And you can look at those from the very beginning of the year. There's a few messages there, unprecedented victory, that God is going to release in this year for our church, for our people, unprecedented victory like we've never seen before. And he also included, though, that there is going to be some work. There's work entailed in seeing that unprecedented victory. We're going to talk about this a bit more, but too often in Christianity, in church, we just want to lay back and be like, oh God, whenever you want to do it, or God, if you want it in my life, just bring it to me. No, the things of God must be pursued. The Bible says that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And in the midst of this unprecedented victory, God spoke to me that in our health and in our family's health, we will see unprecedented victory. But there must come a change in theology, a change in thinking, a change in our faith concerning healing. And so what I believe that God wants to encourage us in is dealing with these theological areas that if we don't get them strong, If we don't get it set in our spirit, set in our heart that these are true, then when it comes time to believe for our healing or someone close to us, doubt and fear creep in because we don't have a firm foundation in these scriptural principles concerning healing. But what I believe that as a result of what is being expressed tonight is that, that God's going to release a faith and a strength within you to be able to stand upon his word, to believe for your healing, to believe for the healing in your family, and consistent life of walking in healing and in wholeness. Can I get an amen? Now, this text that we read, the end of the book of Mark prior to Jesus' ascension, so this comes after his death, after his resurrection, after his appearance to many, and then he declares this over the disciples before he ascends into heaven and gives them really marching orders. We like to call it the Great Commission, which is expressed a little differently in each of the Gospels. But in Mark, we see some definitive things that I believe are very impactful for our faith in the area of healing. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. The good news is the gospel. Do you know that gospel? It means good news. And the good news is, even though our sin requires our death, and that spiritual death is separation from God now and forever, if you don't get that sin taken care of, the good news is that Jesus came and lived a life without sin and died upon the cross to take the punishment for our sin upon himself, and we can have eternal life. And it was assigned to us that on the third day, God raised him from the dead, that we may know that everything he said was true, that resurrection is the proof to all that he said and all that he claimed and all that was prophesied. And so that's the good news, that we've been set free from sin, that salvation from sin is available. But how does that apply to healing? And so I've got a number of principles for healing. I don't know how many we're going to get through because it's quite a bit as we go through them. But number one, healing is in the gospel. Healing is part of the gospel. Turn your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 is a prophetic word from the prophet Isaiah concerning the Messiah. The word Messiah means the anointed one, which in Greek is Christ, the anointed one, and is Jesus. All right, so this is talking about Jesus. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, reading from the New Living Translation. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. The gospel expressed here is that not only did Jesus die on the cross for our sins so that we can have the forgiveness of sins, but that saving work on the cross also applies to our physical healing. And actually, throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, almost every single place where salvation is referenced, healing comes alongside it. Almost every place where salvation is mentioned, whether it's the prophetic all the way to the New Testament, talking about what already took place in Jesus, that it's tied to healing as well. And we can't separate the two. And too often in Christianity over the years, those have been separated. Yes, I can believe for Jesus to save my soul, but I'm not quite sure about that healing business. Understand, when Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," it was not only for our salvation, but also for our healing, that we could be made whole. And maybe like you, I've memorized this parts of Isaiah 53 in New King James or NIV, and I'll go back and forth from quoting that, where it says he was bruised for our iniquities, right? The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we were healed. And the understanding from that text is our healing has already happened. And I want you to begin to wrap your mind around this concept that your healing has already taken place, that the payment for it has already been made, that which you would require to be able to receive healing, Jesus has already done. He's already accomplished what we could never do on our own in the area of trying to buy from God or accomplish our own healing. Jesus did by the shedding of his own blood. When it says that that by his wounds we were healed, it sounds very prophetic. But when you look at the text at what Jesus endured, the beating, the lashings, I'm not going to go into detail, but the Romans were very good at what they did. And what is expressed is that he was unrecognizable as a man. On the cross, unrecognizable because of what he endured upon the cross. And do you know why? Do you know why he did that? Understand that he was on the cross of his own will, right? Obeying the will of the Father. He could have had angels come. He could have come down from the cross. They didn't put him there as much as he put himself there. Why? Because the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Do you know what the joy set before him was? It was knowing that because of what he endured, you could be saved. Now, because of what he endured upon the cross, you could be healed, that you don't have to live in pain any longer. You don't have to be broken any longer, that he, by his blood, by his own flesh ripped from his body, purchased your healing. And so the number one thing that we've got to understand coming into these principles of healing is it's already been done. Your healing's been paid for. It's been purchased. It's available to you already. Jesus has done all the work and made it available. And in the same way that we receive salvation, right, by faith, it's grace by faith. Grace, not something that we could achieve, but something we receive, we do the same in the area of healing. So that's number one. Healing is in the gospel. It's the good news. How are you going to separate healing from the good news? The good news is that saving work was for your soul and also for your body. Might start preaching in here. Number two, God can and wants you healed. Now, this is an important point because I know a lot of people who believe can heal, who believe God can heal. They believe very strongly, yes, God can heal, but they're not so convinced that he wants to. They're not so convinced that he will. And so they may believe that he can, but they don't necessarily believe that he will. Then there's so many lies attached to that. I'll just say one of the reasons that there's so much bad theology about healing is really it often comes from a place of disappointment. See, because someone began to believe God for healing and things didn't turn out the way they thought or it wasn't fast enough. And so instead of keeping the faith, instead of continuing to pursue it, let's believe something. Let's change it so that, okay, God wants me to suffer in this way so that I could become more like him. God wants me to suffer so that I could learn something. And guess what? There's actually some scriptures that express that in the midst of difficulty and trials and suffering, that God does use those things. But you must understand that God's intention is not for you to suffer. His intention is not he does not put sickness, he does not put infirmity, he does not put disease upon you. He doesn't do that. So then how come in the Bible does it talk about him using suffering? Well, the Bible also says he'll take what the enemy meant for bad and he'll turn it to good. So he's going to utilize this moment to bring you to a greater faith. And I'll say this, and I'm going to go back and forth through some of these principles because they're often very intertwined. But I also know that, and I've had people go through very difficult physical things and God They come out of it. They get their healing eventually, whether through the doctor or God sovereignly touches them or somebody prays for them for healing. And they say, well, in the midst of it, I went through all this and I'm so thankful for it because it caused me to grow in the things of God. It caused me to see his goodness. It caused me to draw nearer to him. And though that's true, understand God did not put that on you so that you could grow in that. Now, just because it resulted in you pursuing God, and that had to be the thing that caused you to draw near to him, that doesn't explain that he put that on you. Does that make sense? Like, he used it, and praise God, maybe it caused you to shake off your old ways and say, I'm not going to do that any longer, and I'm going to begin to live for God, and I'm going to turn things around. But he didn't put that upon you so that it would happen. Now, that naturally comes as a result of sin, as a result of corruption in the world. You know, if God doesn't put sickness on people, where does it come from? We'll get into that part of that in a moment. We understand that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that it brought corruption and pain. There was no death. There was none of those things. There was no sickness in the garden before sin. And when sin entered and that sinful nature came into people, it brought that corruption. And then when people began to actively sin, it brings about a open doors for the enemy to be at work. And we're going to talk about that more here in a moment. So we understand that. Now, that doesn't mean that when you see someone who's sick or has got something going on or they need healing, oh, I know what they've been doing. No. You have no idea. You have no idea what's going on. All right. So God can and wants you healed. He's not trying to teach you something with sickness. There's many other ways to teach you things. It's not by sickness. It says in John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's New Living Translation. You may know it as life and life more abundantly. Understand his intention then. God is not like us where we can say one thing and then later on it might be something else. If it says here that he's come that you may have life and have it more abundantly or a rich and satisfying life, you can take that to the bank. You can take that and make it a foundation for your life, because if it doesn't look like rich and satisfying, if it doesn't look like life and life more abundantly, then there's something that God wants to do, something that God wants to release. There's something that's not lining up yet fully with the plan that he has for you. Came down here to take off my jacket. Getting on. Praise God. So the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal your time. To steal your time. Maybe you've been struggling with pain or a sickness. It takes up time. You don't have the same time that often you used to have because, oh, I just want to be in bed. I just can't handle the pain. I can't deal with this. I can't go do the things that I used to do. There's things that God wants me to do, and I've not been able to do it because of this infirmity. And you know how often I've seen that? I've seen that. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm becoming more aware in my maturity, I don't know, seasoning, or there's a ramping up or an increased work of the enemy in the area of sickness and infirmity, but I see it now more than ever, constantly, constantly. Understand the thief, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so don't you ever place those things upon God, that God is doing that within my life. God is doing that in my family. That's a doctrine of the devil. The Bible talks about doctrines of the devil. And that's one of those things at this time to get people to stay in a place that Jesus already paid the price to set them free from. It's a work from the enemy that we think we're so theological and so intellectual that, oh, and so spiritual. Oh, he's got me going through this, brother. Oh, just so I can be more like him, just so I can suffer like him. Why, if he already suffered, why would he want you to do it? Why would he go through that if he wanted you to suffer? Why would he endure all of that? So the thief comes, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus says to you, but I have come. I have come. Oh, I just got stuck on that right there, because the I am has come. I have come, the prophesied one, the anointed one, the one that Isaiah prophesied about, that will take our iniquities upon himself, our wounds upon himself. Oh, I have come, he says, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I've wrestled with God before and gone, God, this is not looking like life more abundantly. This is not looking like it. And I want to encourage you, wrestle with God. Wrestle with those things. Wrestle with those things that don't line up with Scripture. Not in a way that you're trying to turn Scripture, but in a way that you're trying to figure out what it is in your life that's not quite lining up. Because I'm telling you right now, generally that's the case. Whether it's an assignment from the enemy or something in our lives that aren't lining up, that's causing us to come out from the fullness of what God wants to do. When in my life and in my family, the finances aren't lining up like God's word says, I'm looking, I'm seeing, we're praying, God, what is there? What are we doing wrong? What's not right here? And we can do the same within our lives, because we know that his intention, he says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, or a rich and satisfying life. So let me get back to the notes. God not only can, but wants to heal you. Now, number three, this is very important. I want you to get this. You are a spirit with a body. Now, what does that have to do with healing? Understand that your body is separate from your spirit. I knew this, but I really realized it after the death of my father. And I realized this as I walked up to his casket where his body was, and I grabbed his hand, and I realized everything that was my dad was gone. That this body was not my dad. It was so profound to me, and I don't know if you've been through that in your life. We all go through difficulties and grief and loss, but when I walked up, and it was so relieving to me, because it's not like when we buried his body, I was losing something. No. That which is him is in heaven, I know, because of his relationship with God. But I share that to express that we're a spirit with a body. And what we must then do is command this body to line up with the word. We look at this body and go, body, the Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You better shape up. You better line up with what the Bible says. When God made man, he said, it is good, and women. And you know what? Adam also said, whew, it's good. And any husbands, it's good, right? But you speak to the body and go, body, line up with the word. By his wounds, you are healed. He already paid for all of that. So you speak to your body. And I'll say this as well, and this I think is going to help many, that the enemy oppresses the body. People wonder, how can, as a Christian, I'm serving the Lord, I'm living right, all these things, I'm tithing, I'm loving God, then how come sickness can come on my home or on my family, or things come on my own body? Understand that the enemy can oppress the body. Now, for a Christian, a spirit can't dwell or possess a body. Do you understand that, right? That when you receive Jesus, that nothing else is allowed in. However, there can be footholds that allow for oppression. And I was listening to T.L. Osborne, a great man used by God in the area of healing, tremendous teachings on healing. Understand, the enemy has an assignment to oppress your body. And I hit on this a little bit already. Why? Because what happens when you're sick? Nothing else. Oh, I can't do my life group this week. Oh, I can't come to church, or all these different things. The enemy will come to oppress the body to hinder us from what God wants us to do. And I think that there's been a specific assignment even in the beginning of this year and maybe the end of last year to really bring that upon oppression to hinder us from what God has called us to do. And that gets me so frustrated, so irritated when I see sickness begin to come on my family and upon the family. When I say my family, I don't just mean my household. I mean this church. I mean you. When I see that happen, I get irritated. You know what happens when I get irritated? I go knocking on doors and witnessing to people. I go laying hands. I get into the hospital and I start laying hands on people. I'm gonna make it irritating and frustrating for the devil. I'm gonna do my best to make it so that he regrets putting his hand on anybody. But when you begin to understand that we're a spirit with a body and the enemy comes to oppress the body, you've got to take the authority that Jesus has given you and command that oppression to go. I love that song that we sang, right? I have the authority that Jesus has given me. Just like we see in this text in the book of Mark that we began to read, that the declaring of the good news, the casting out of demons. Okay, we need to break the oppression at times of the enemy off of our own bodies. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to tell a story because I don't want someone to develop wrong theology concerning it. I'm going to wait on that story because it can lead to some open ends. I will say this, that things that you do allow into your life, things that are even connected to worship of other gods or witchcraft, and maybe you think it's just a nice painting, or I'll go through some of the hospitals around here, and they've got these different masks on the wall, and it's native culture, and it's just art, right? No, you know, a lot of those masks are created to represent spirits that used to be in operation in the villages and the different tribes. And so we've got these in hospitals and in different places I've been through throughout the valley. And it bothers me because it opens up the door to the demonic to afflict and oppress the people. So we've got to be aware that we can allow things in our lives that allow for an oppression. That's why when sickness comes and it's consistent and there's a cycle of it, I'm seeking the Lord. What is going on? Because we don't get sick, just in general. And so when it starts to come, it's like, okay, what's going on? Because I understand what the Bible says. I understand that we have healing, that by his wounds we are healed. We walk in wholeness and we have the shalom. Shalom, that word means peace. And it's not just peace. It's a wholeness. It's a fullness. And that includes our physiology, mind and body and spirit. There's a peace. So when things aren't lining up right with the word, I begin to ask and pray, God, is there an open door? Have we allowed something? So let me get back to this. You are a spirit with a body. And what I'm intending to bring and what I believe God wants to do again is to walk into this unprecedented victory in this year concerning your health and the health of your family. You've got to be able to take these principles and wage war with them so that when the works of the enemy come to bring an oppression to you, you can rebuke them. You understand the authority that Jesus has given you to cast out demons, the authority he's given you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You take that and even upon your own self say, I command you to leave this body. You foul thing that has tried to afflict me and slow me down. God, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that I would live in pain, so I would live in difficulty. No, he died on the cross so I can walk in freedom, in wholeness, and see it multiply. But you've got to get these principles from Scripture within you so you can pray like that. It's one thing to clap and hallelujah in church and feel built up and so encouraged, and then you get home and you're by yourself, or later on in the week and you're by yourself, then what? Then the symptoms come. Then the things come. You've got to get this deep down inside you for when those moments come, when the symptoms come, when things crop up and say, no, I know what the word says. When the diagnosis comes, no, I've got a diagnosis from heaven. It comes from the book of Isaiah. By his wounds, I am healed. And that's what I choose to walk in. And many times when a symptom comes, we appropriate it. We've got to break that. I have that. And you look it up on Google or WebMD, and you allow WebMD to be the prophet over your life. This is what you can expect. This is what's going to happen. This is what it's going to grow. No. Instead, we're to go to the Word and find out what God says about it. The Word is to be our foundation. It's true. This Word is true. It is truth. The Bible says in the book of John that Jesus is the Word made flesh. This is his Word to us. And I'll tell you, I'm going to believe what Jesus says much more over any doctor, over anything that Google can say. And I'll say this, I'm convinced that the enemy will come just like he comes with fear, just like he comes with temptation. He'll come with a symptom to see if you'll grab it, to see if he can get you to fear, to see if he can get you to doubt, see if he can get you to bring that into your life. Oh, I have that. Where instead, just like we cast out the thoughts and the temptations, as the Bible says, that don't line up with the Word, we must do the same with all those things that come into our lives. And I'll encourage you, maybe you've allowed something, maybe there's something that's been tolerated. You don't have to tolerate it any longer. God has specifically spoken to me to preach this Word to those that are here, those that are online, so you can take it today and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to tolerate it any longer. Jesus didn't die on the cross and have all that happen to him just so that I can live with this thing. No, he's already set me free. I'm going to walk in that freedom. Then number four, don't carry any stigma or condemnation because you need healing. I added this in here because I've found that often in Pentecostalism, in Pentecostal churches, if you're sick or something's going on, there's a shame that tries to come on you. You're not spiritual enough. You must not be praying enough. Right? If you talk to anybody about it or ask for prayer, they're going to think that something's wrong. No, we've got to stop it. Understand, like I've been saying, there's a devil that hates you and all these demons that hate you and are looking to oppress you. And there's corruption in the world that's coming upon you. And there's even governments that are releasing things specifically formulated to attack you, specifically formulated to keep you dependent upon the government, to keep you dependent upon the pharmaceutical industry. Is that the right word? Pharmaceutical? Yeah. To keep you dependent. So there's all those things. But don't have this stigma or condemnation because you need healing. There are many throughout Scripture that needed healing, and they got it, and they received it. I need healing. I need healing right now. There's some things that I'm believing for that throughout the day I'm working on. I'm quoting the Word. I'm standing up on the Word, and God is healing me. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 30, verse 2, I cried out to you, and you restored my health. That's one of my dailies. When anything kind of come up, oh, God, I thank you that you're restoring my health. I thank you that you're restoring my health. So don't allow a condemnation. Understand the Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is now no condemnation. Now, not only does that mean that we don't have that feeling of condemnation if we need healing, but there's not a, understand what that is. That condemnation is the weight and punishment of sin. And guess what? Sickness and infirmity is part of that. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't take that upon yourself. Number five, we're almost done. He is healing, even if it isn't immediate. And I need you to hear this because so many, I help so many and counsel so many that are struggling because they came up for prayer for healing and they had faith and they believed and then they didn't see the immediate healing. Let me encourage you, it's not always immediate, but when hands are laid upon you, when prayer is made on your behalf, whether you prayed or you had someone pray for you, I'm going to tell you right now, according to the Word, healing has begun in your body. Healing has been released in your body. One of my favorite testimonies lately is this chart that we've been given from our dear friend Gail, who we prayed with concerning cancer. She had stage 4 cancer. All the way, and she came to church all the way, I believe, in April of last year for prayer. And she came up for prayer, and guess what? She went back to the doctor, and she wasn't healed. Oh. But you know what? She kept coming. Month after month, she would come, and she'd come for prayer. I prayed for her. Pastor Karen prayed for her. Pastor Vicky prayed. I see all kinds of people praying for her. And she always had joy. And she always was in faith that God was going to heal her. Until the day she came with this chart that shows that on that very day, that very month, in the month of April, we see this chart where it measures the amount of cancer that's operating within the body. From what I understand, that's what it measures. At its peak in April, which is when she got prayed for, it began to go down. And she got prayed for and it began to go down. And just a couple months ago, she came to us and they said that she was completely healed. Well, they said it was in remission, but we say she was healed. She was healed. And when did that healing happen? From the moment we began to pray, it began to be at work in her body. The power of God began to be at work in her body. The problem is that too often we get prayer and we don't see immediate healing, and then we get discouraged, and it must not be for me, and we come up with other theology concerning healing, like it's not, you know, it's not like we see, it's not like they've been talking about. No, the moment that prayer is released, understand God hears and he answers prayer. Now, we love when it's immediate, but I want to encourage you that when we begin to pray, something begins to shift. Now, I'm going to be done here in just a moment, but I want to say this. Watch. You get prayed for, but pay attention to what you say. Pay attention to what you say after that. Too often, we continue claiming something that we've already been healed of, that healing work is still ongoing. So we get prayed for healing, and then we continue to go, well, I have this, and this is what it's going to do. This is what it kind of looks like, and, you know, and it's going to progress like this. And you begin to prophesy and speak into your own body these lies because you receive prayer. Healing's at work, but then you can negate it by the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. That when we speak, there's a creative aspect to it. I love that in the very beginning when God formed man, it says that he formed man from the dust of the ground and then breathed his own life into man. What that means is that same voice, that same breath that said, let there be light, dwells within us, which means we have creative ability. It's not that you can speak out something and a Maserati will appear in your driveway, but you can begin to speak and there is a creative effect. You can release life, you can release death. So healing, even if it's not immediate, we love the immediate healings. I love it. We've seen plenty of immediate healing right here, many different things. I believe tonight when we lay hands on people that there's going to be healing. Come on, somebody say amen. I believe that God's going to heal some people tonight. There's going to be some immediate healings. And I know that there's going to be healing. It might not all be immediate, but there's going to be something released, whether here or online, that healing is going to be released. So what do? There's many more principles we can go through, but what do? Believe and receive. Number one, believe and receive. It says to preach the gospel to all creation. That was the command. Yet we neglect preaching the gospel to ourselves. I preach the gospel to myself more than anybody else. More than anybody else, I tell myself, oh, this is what the word, this is, don't you know the good news concerning what Jesus has done for you? Don't you, why so downcast, oh, my soul? Oh, and you begin to declare the good things of God and all that he's directed toward you, all that he's made available to you. You believe and receive. And I'll tell you, if you begin to do that in every aspect of your prayer life, things are going to change and you're going to see answered prayer very quickly. Because more often than not, we pray in a very defeated manner. Don't you know, God, what I'm going through? God, I know that you can do it. Why don't you just do it now? Oh, God, these things. And yes, don't hear me wrong. We bring It's called supplications. We bring those things to God, but we don't stay there. Please hear me. Don't stay there. It must progress. I've prayed those prayers. It must progress to where you're declaring the good news of the gospel. As I shared earlier in the service already, too often we're so busy telling God about our problems, right? The problems we identify with that we've claimed as our own. We spend so much time telling God about our problems when instead we should be telling those problems about how big our God is. And that's what prayer should move towards. Yes, yes, God, this is what we're going through. He wants to hear that. He's a good father, but it must come to the point of, God, I thank you, even though that's the case, that your word is said. You say, it says in the Bible that you sent the word and healed him. It says in the book of Exodus, you're the God who heals us. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're the one who works within my body. I thank you, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And as it says in Romans, that that spirit bring life to my mortal body. I thank you even today, Jesus, that by your wounds, I am healed. Now, that's a very different prayer from God, heal me. And I think many times Christians think that they're trying to convince God to do something. We don't convince God. He wants to heal you. He wants to release it. We've got to lay hold of it. So it's believe and receive. Believe what the word says. Believe. And it's, I want to say, easier said than done, because we can say, yeah, we believe. I don't want to get too far into this. But I hear many people, Christians, tell me they have faith when, and I've gone through this myself. Don't take it the wrong way. But what I think is faith is actually me being too afraid that I don't have faith. I say I have faith because I'm too afraid to know that I'm not convinced in that area. And so you wrestle with God in those, with those scriptures. You know, Jacob in scripture, it says in the Bible, it says that he wrestled with God, and that when he came out, he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I think that that is a model for the place of prayer. When you see a promise, when you see something that God says you can have, I'm not going to let you go until I receive it, because I'm going to take you at your word. Again, we're not convincing God. We're taking his word and we're wrestling maybe with our doubts, and we're wrestling with our beliefs till it's solidified within us, and that he releases that power. And when Jacob wrestled with God, he walked different. There was something about him. Something changed about his life. So we believe and then receive. Many people spend a good time praying and asking God for things and not enough time receiving. Receiving. God, I receive healing. I receive. Jesus, I receive it. You paid for it. I choose to receive it. I receive it. By faith, I receive it. That's why Jesus taught us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. You know, and this is another principle, but do you know that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places? Right now, you're seated with him in the heavenlies, and you are healed and you are whole in the heavens. You are whole in the kingdom, in that place. And we're to pray the realities of that kingdom that we're seated in into the earth right now. We lay hold of that which has taken place in heaven and see it released in the earth, in our own bodies, in the bodies of others. So we believe and receive. And lastly, contend. Contend. Keep fighting. Don't you give up. He's going to do it. Everything he said he's going to do, he's going to do it. He's faithful. He's the one that responds to his word. If he said it, he's going to do it. You lay hold of it. You wrestle with it. You run after him. You keep holding on to that thing. I was reminded that I prayed concerning this of the promised land. You know the story of the promised land, where God promised this land to the people of Israel, and they had to go in after they left Egypt. God did all these wonderful things and brought them to the edge of the promised land, eventually brought them in. Guess what? They had to contend for it. They had to run some things. They had to run some peoples and some giants and some things out of that land. In the same way, we have these promises from God concerning our health, concerning our well-being, the blessed, the rich and satisfying life, the life and life more abundantly. We've got to contend. We've got to fight. We've got to drive the oppression of the enemy out of our bodies, out of our lands, out of our families. We've got to drive the works of the enemy and see sickness and disease and infirmity run out
not just of our own selves and our families, but he's going to do it in you so he can do it through you. So he can do it through, so other people can have victory. Oh, do you know what? You might be sick right now, but do you know what God did for me? My God's the healer. He touched my body. He set me free. Lift your hands right now. I'm going to lay hands upon you. I'm going to lay hands upon you, and you're going to be healed. Look what we see him do in Scripture. What we see him do in Scripture and in the lives of others, we can believe for. I think it's a keyboard minstrel. Like the promised land, we contend. We need to lay hold of those things, the promises, until you see them released in your life. Don't give up. Oh, I told a story, I think it was last week. A friend of mine who was brought into this hopeless situation, seemingly, where they were ready to pull his friend off of life support. He was on a ventilator. All these different things keeping him alive. They're like, he's not doing anything. This is the end. Bring in all those people that, you know, the family. And he was close to him, so bring him into. So he goes in to be part of this moment where they unplug all the things and to pray. But my friend is a man of faith. And he believed that if this person still has breath, there's still a chance. So he prayed for him, not just, that he would go comfortably. Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you, Jesus, by your wounds, he is healed. We receive it. We declare, body be healed. He prays for him. I know all he said. He prayed for him. And guess what? They took him off the ventilator. They took him off life support. They took him off all these things. And then he starts to eventually kind of grunt and move around and opens his eyes and begins to talk to his mom and begins to talk to people, and a day goes by and he's talking more, and another day goes by, and all this time they're not doing anything to help him because they're just expecting him to die. He's in hospice, no water, no IV, no nothing for 2 days. And he gets better and better until they have to convince the doctors, something's happening here. We need to start providing some help. The doctors check him out. Oh, yeah. And so they start to help him. They check him out. They get him on IV, and they begin to help him get stronger. He had come in originally because he had a heart attack, and he had died for 15 minutes. They go to check his heart, and there's absolutely nothing at all wrong with his heart. Amazing. Look, they were expecting him to die. But someone stepped in who said, it may look one way, but he's still got, there's still hope. There's still opportunity. I know my God. And one of my favorite verses lately, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we see that at work within that story. And one of the privileges, one of the things that I get to do is when people are sick, they go to the hospital, I get to go pray for them. There's a team of people, but that's one of my favorite things to do because I see people come out of the hospital all the time. I'm not trying to say anything about me. I'm talking about my God. Because when we walk into that place, the kingdom comes in. The kingdom, if you're saved today, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. The kingdom is upon you, about you. Where you go, the kingdom goes. And where the kingdom is, listen, understand the kingdom is the place where the will of God is done. So where you go, you bring about an atmosphere where the will of God can be done. And the will of God is healing, it's salvation, it's breakthrough, it's power. So I want to pray for anybody in need of healing here in just a moment. But before I do that, understand that the greatest miracle is not healing, physical healing. The greatest miracle is not any of that. The greatest miracle actually is having your spirit healed, made right with God. That's the greatest miracle. See, because you could go to the doctor and the doctor can help you with your body. But there's only one person I know that can help you with your spirit. Understand, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And that sin in our lives brings death. The wages of sin is death. And that death is not just a physical death, it's a spiritual death where we're separated from God. And if you die with that sin in your life, you spend eternity separated from God in hell. But as we shared already, God sent his son Jesus. He loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus, who lived a life without sin, so that he could die in your place, in my place, upon that cross, and take our sins upon himself, so that we can be made right with God, right in his sight, able to have relationship with him now and for eternity. As I shared already, on the third day after his death, God raised him from the dead, and it's a sign of life. Out of impossibility, life sprang up, and we can have that resurrection life. So I want to give you that opportunity, because just because Jesus died for you and paid that price for you doesn't mean it automatically applies for your life. You have to choose to receive that gift of salvation. So all across this place, I want to ask you to stand. And I want to give an opportunity. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, to be washed clean from sin and healed in your relationship with God, when I count to three, I want you to lift your hand if you want to receive Jesus for the first time. But secondly, maybe you've asked him into your life in the past, but you've not been living right, and you need to recommit your life to him. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hand as well if you want to recommit your life. So all through this room, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you fall into either of those categories tonight, whether you're here or online, you want to receive him for the first time to be made right with God, or recommit your life to him. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hand. If that's you, lift your hand in one, two, three. Lift your hand. I see that hand in the middle. I see that hand over here. Anybody else? I see those hands. Wow, praise God. I see those hands. Hallelujah. 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 How about this right side? I see those hands on this right side. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So many. Anybody else? Come on, this is the time. Hallelujah. You online as well, this is what we're going to do. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to repeat after me. Please, and again, don't do this mindlessly. You repeat what I say, but I'm just leading you in how to pray. You've got to mean it from your heart. So write out loud, whether you lifted your hand or not, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me brand new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can be who you've called me to be and do what you've called me to do. Amen. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for all those that prayed that prayer. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them now. Lord, that they would be forever changed from this moment forward. They would see your hand upon their lives. I break off every bondage. I break off every demonic assignment against their lives. Alcoholism and addiction, I command you to go. You will not plague them any longer. I thank you, Lord, that you're releasing your power upon them to live a holy life. Give them a passion for your word, for prayer, for the things of you. If they're not a part of a church, they become a part of one and do all that you've called them to. I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, real quickly, with so many gave their heart to the Lord. Listen, if that was you and you lifted your hand, you prayed that prayer, or maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you prayed it and you got right with God, you for the first time are recommitted. We want to help you to grow in the things of God. That's why this church is here. So we want to connect with you. If you would, whether you're online or here, you text the word saved to 907-357-2065. If you do that, that'll get us in contact with you. We want to walk with you and help you do what God's called you to do. You can also see those at the welcome desk and Next Steps desk in the lobby and just let them know you gave your heart to Jesus tonight. Praise God. Come on, put your hands together, everybody, for what the Lord has done. Come on, he's amazing. He's amazing. Come on. Hallelujah. All of heaven is rejoicing because people were saved tonight. Praise God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.